All right, I'm going to give it to you straight. I've been at one buck all week. What I've seen, what I've heard, this is Bucks Kickoff Podcast. To get you ready for the Bucks, the Saints, Monday Night Football, it's always a better, different vibe. On Monday night, there's more cameras. It's Troy Aikman. It's Joe Buck. It's the stadium looks a lot different. It's Monday Night Football, and it's a desperation game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Saints as well, but even more so for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Welcome. I'm ready. I hope you are too. I don't have confidence that the Buccaneers are just going to flip the switch. The one thread of hope, and Brady said hope, he doesn't go by hope. That's not a game plan. But the little tiny bit of hope that I have is coming from what they did against the Seattle Seahawks in Munich. Complimentary football. They can do it. That wasn't a fluke. The defense was flying around. The offense and Brady was just going down the field. They were confident. They were rested. They were better than the Seattle Seahawks. And that's the only thread, a little bit of hope that I have that the Buccaneers will beat the Saints here on Monday night. But let me get into it. I'm going to tell you about the best burger joint in all of Tampa Bay, which is Burger Monger. Best shakes, best burgers, and sides by far. And let's get into this bad boy. Now, the only one that's definitely out, is Tristan Wirfs, the big right tackle with the ankle and the knee. Josh Wells is going to be the starter. At least this isn't anything that was sprung on the Buccaneers. When I showed up early in the week, Josh Wells is working with the ones. He's not a rookie. He's been used before. He's familiar with the system. Yeah, he's going to have a tough time against Cameron Jordan. Hey, you're in the NFL, man. You're playing for the GOAT. This might be it. You got to win this game. You got to step up. Don't want to hear any excuses. Cam Jordan is so good and this and that. You're in there for a reason. He was working with the ones all week. And that's going to be the deal there. The Saints, it's like, oh my God, medic. The Saints had 15 players on the injury report. We know definitely out for this game, two safeties, JT Gray and PJ Williams, not going to be able to play, tight end Juwan Johnson with the ankle, and defensive end Peyton Turner. Those are your definites, but they're way more banged up than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is going to come down to, it's a trenches game. It's I'm not going to say warfare, but it's your division rival. You know, the Saints always have the Bucs number most of the time. And so left tackle Donovan Smith, you have got to step up in this game. You're going to be going up against Marcus Davenport, Granderson as well. You have not been playing good. You have to play. Give me the passion. Leave it all out on the field. On that nice turf at Raymond James Stadium, you guys say you love playing there, so play well. The Buccaneers offense is 27th in the NFL, averaging 18 points a game. Brady even said, we've been like this all year. Other than that Seattle game, they were pretty good that first game. They looked all right. Second game, it was a tight game, and then... Look, they got me flabbergasted, man. I don't understand it. Is it just an old football team? Is it just plain? They're just bad. They're just that bad. You know, you got to win this game. You got to win this game. You got to run the football. Continue to run the football. Rashad White, I'll get into my under the rock, what I saw. We went over to his locker. Very confident, not cocky, but very confident young man. The moment is not too big for him at all. I think he's only going to get better and better. The Saints have a very good pass defense. They're not good against the run. The Saints have the Bucs number. The Buccaneers beat the Saints by 10 points in week two. That, if you remember that game, finally got them off the schneid. They had snapped their 7-game regular season losing streak. But the last time that the Buccaneers swept the Saints, you know, won both times in one season. Come on. Any guesses? What do you think? Go back to 2010. How about 2007 is the last time that the Buccaneers swept the Saints. All right, before I go any further, I got to tell you about, man, my favorite place to get a burger, and that is Burger Monger. Chop House Burgers and Barstool Shakes. You got four locations in the Tampa Bay area: Carrollwood, St. Pete, Safety Harbor, and Wesley Chapel. Their burgers are they're big, man. It's over a third of a pound, hand pressed. That's what I like. Hand pressed burger patties, and it's made from a blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef, and they're hand pressed on the grill, and it just gives you that perfect char, maximum flavor. You can also craft your burger with a whole bunch of cheeses. They got all the cheeses you could ever want, fresh toppings, sauces, and even maybe try one of their house crafted recipe burgers that are just delish. And you got, if you're going to Burger Monger, you got to get the Burger Monger shake. All natural hand scooped ice cream, hand spun, thick and creamy, whipped cream on top, and a variety of toppings. What flavors are the Burger Monger Barstool shakes? Well, I'm going to tell you. Snickers Supreme, Simply Strawberry, maybe it's just the very vanilla, Chocolate Fudge, Cookies and Cream, and Caramel Crave. And one of the best kept secrets is they have amazing chicken sandwiches at Burger Monger. I know, Burger Monger chicken sandwiches. Oh, yeah. Larger marinated chicken breast. You can get it grilled or fresh breaded or deep fried, and the sides are to die for. You got the sweet potato fries, waffle fries, house-made hand-battered onion rings, natural cut fries, just delicious. And they're still running this Burger Monger's LFG burger. Tell them you want the LFG burger. It's only $12. It's basically two. It's a burger stacked with two patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce, the provolone, the applewood smoked bacon, the fresh avocado slices, and they top it off with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It is so good. It's called LFG Burger. It's only $12. You can't get burgers anywhere at $12. All right. You ready? Let me get back to it. I'm going to go to my Under the Rock here in just a little bit of a second. But let's set the stage on this thing, all right? The Saints are not who we thought they were. No, I don't think they're very good. That's who I think. They're not very good. But we've seen the Buccaneers lose to teams that are not very good. We've seen it. 4-8. They're going into the bye after this one. It was the last game the Saints played last week. It was 13-0. It was a road loss to the 49ers. Now, the Saints have beaten Brady and the Buccaneers 9-0 at Ray J, 38-3 at Ray J. Marshawn Lattimore is back. He had missed 7 games with 2 broken ribs and a lacerated kidney. So obviously that corner that's done a number on Mike Evans, Lattimore is nowhere near 100%, but he is back. And when I look at the Saints, you got the big name, but don't sleep on this undrafted rookie, Rashid Shaheed. Wide receiver. If you're going to the game, he's wearing number 89. Last week, 30 snaps. He basically is wide receiver 3. Olave, the kid, 38 snaps. Shaheed had 30 snaps. And then Jarvis Landry with 32. So they're spreading it around. But this undrafted rookie, number 89, is a good one. Now, the Saints, they're going to want to run it. All right, their rushing attack, it's not that good. I mean, it's 20th, all right? They're 22nd in rushing yards at about 113 per game. They're 15th in yards per rush at 4.5 and 9 rushing touchdowns. That's 24th. So they aren't like world beaters. And for the Buccaneer defense, talking a good game, let's see you do it. Now, Akeem Hicks, he was a Saints draft pick. We got to see because he was on the injury report this week. He looked fine in the locker room to me, but the Buccaneer rush defense has gotten back a little bit. Right now, they are ranked 7th in the NFL. Now, when the Saints run it, all right, they've got 4 wins when they've rushed for 152 yards as an average. So when they go for about 150 on the ground, they win. 7 of their 8 losses, they averaged 74 yards. So you see the big difference. When they're pounding the rock, they win. The Saints have been held to less than 100 yards rushing in their last four games. And in five of their last six, they've had a makeshift offensive line. They're near the top at committing penalties. This is not a good team. But again, we know what the Buccaneers do against this year. So this is, if the Buccaneers don't win this game, oh my God. But they commit a lot of penalties. All right, they have committed, here's another one. The Saints have committed the second most turnovers in the NFL. They turn it over. They had a makeshift line. Now, the line is a little bit better. And they commit a lot of penalties. And, you know, in New Orleans or in Louisiana, they're calling for Jameis Winston. We may see both quarterbacks. Bowles told us they're going in with the mindset of preparing for Andy Dalton. But most Saints faithful want Jameis to get to go back to being the starting quarterback. We may see both in this game. Now, it's really not Andy Dalton's fault, because I really went in between the numbers, looking at the tape. There's been drops, there's penalties, there's been missed assignments. But Dalton's offense, you know, he's the quarterback. He's running the offense, and they have scored in three of their last four games, 13, 10, and 0 points. And I don't know if you caught it, but Jameis Winston, I think it was 2 weeks ago, he was asked, because he's healthy now, what about losing the starting job? And he said that he never believes that you're supposed to lose your job due to injury. He was a starter. He lost it to injury, and it actually has taken some of his soul from him. Yeah, it sucks being on the bench with the ginger. Here's a crazy stat, and this is coming from Pro Football Focus. Andy Dalton is the highest graded, according to PFF, the highest graded Saints player on offense through Week 12. Dalton is the fifth highest graded passer in all of the NFL. Now, I know there's no diehard, not many anyway, there's not a lot of diehard Saints fans that are listening to this Joe Bucks Fan podcast. Maybe there are some, but if there are, do you believe that? He's the fifth highest graded quarterback in all the NFL. So I'm throwing you some stats. All right, let me get to like a little bit of my under the rock, what I have seen. What I observed. So Wednesday was the open day. Here we go. Game plan is in now. And I was really curious when I went through the gates, what was I going to see? Was there a change in an attitude? Like the Buccaneers, no. There's no tomorrow, man. I mean, come on, you keep on sucking it. Didn't even Bowles even say, I think it was on the Buccaneers radio network, we can't piss away any more games. No, you can't. But I did see Bruce Arians. He was on his golf cart. I looked at him and went boom with my fist. And he went boom. He pointed at me. He drove away. He was all over at different parts. He did spend some time talking with Leftwich. Again, he does that a lot. They talk a lot. And what I did notice on Wednesday, when the players, they got the music blasting and they're doing their stretching, there wasn't as much banter. When the guys were coming out, even to stretch, there's usually a lot of ball busting, a lot of laughing, joking. I didn't see that as much, which I take that as a good thing. All right? Being below 500 and in first place, you're getting handed on a silver platter. And you're not going to be pissed off about this last game. So I did notice that. Brady ended up sprinting out, and they had this quarterback competition where they were throwing it into the net, and they were doing the footwork, stepping over the dummies, in and out of the dummies like they usually do. It looked like business as usual. And again, for anybody, I really haven't heard that lately, but there had been some that think that Brady is hurt. Or I know Sean King, the former Buccaneer quarterback, who was on Joe Buck's Fan this past week, and he had said that he is seeing a deterioration in Brady, and it's, you know, Father Time has taken over. I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, he played in the NFL. Who am I as just a reporter that's covered sports and football a long-ass time? I'm not seeing it yet with the Father Time with Brady, but I saw that Joe Buck's Fan had an, you know, they took that from Sean King. The new right tackle, Josh Wells, he's number 72. He was working with the first unit. Leonard Fournette was throwing passes to Russell Gage when we were there. Gage was covered by a coach. Now, I know Lenny had that pass that it didn't work out to Brady. Brady called that thing, by the way. That was Brady's call. He actually wanted that, that time where he slipped. That was in the Munich. Yeah, that was in the Germany game. But Lenny likes to sling the rock, and he throws a little, it was short stuff. But he's got the hip pointer. He was also doing the hurdles. I think he's going to be okay. Now, Thanksgiving was Thursday. They had a shorter practice. And then I was back there on Friday. And it basically, both in the locker room and on the field, it looked like it was business as usual. The week is long. And players, by the time you hit Thursday, Friday, they had a bonus practice. So Friday, because it was a Monday night, it's a Monday night game. They're not there. That last game is way in the book. That's history, man. It's all about this next opponent, who they're going to go up against. That's what it was. So, and basically it looked like that. It looked like the old practice. And then Brady had a Veterans Day off, and he ran out, and the other quarterbacks were on a far field. And Brady ran out, and he didn't have his Buccaneer jersey on. He had his Bucs. It's just like a gray T-shirt. But it looked to me like he still had wristbands on, like the place. So I'm watching him, and he runs across the field, and he doesn't have his helmet there. And I'm like, okay, so this is one of these veteran days off. But you know what? When it's time to do the drills where they just go, they run real quick, little short steps over these dummies that are on the ground. And then they throw. Brady was doing it. He was doing the reps, even though he's not supposed to be. He's resting, but he wasn't throwing. He wasn't using his shoulder. And then I figured, let me ask him. So I asked him on Friday, because he spoke on Friday. I said, Tom, how are you feeling at this point? We notice when you have these veteran days, I know there's been some stuff made of it that you take a day off during the week, but I noticed that you're out there, you're still doing footwork and stuff like that. You just don't throw. How are you doing? Is it working for you? And he just downplayed it. He's like, no, I get my throwing in. I think he misunderstood. You certainly throw enough, but is this plan working for you? How are you feeling? And you know what? Brady is never going to tell us if he's hurting. He always says, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. Now, yeah, Lenny was high-stepping over these high hurdles that they have. Look fine from there. Safety Logan Ryan was still doing individual drills with a coach, fully suited up. He was catching passes. It was like it would be interceptions. You know, there was a coach that was throwing to him as if he was backpedaling. He'd catch it. He was cutting. He was stopping. He told us that he's done as much as he could during his rehab, but it's hard to get the cardio, you know, when he couldn't. He did pull downs and things like that. So it's going to take him a little while to round into form, but he is one of the veterans. Did not see Bruce Arians on his golf cart on Friday. I did see Jason Light. He walked out to watch practice, but it was just gorgeous, man. I actually wrote down a note, 78 degrees, blue skies, no humidity. So these guys are practicing in perfect conditions down here in Florida now at this time of year. No more sweating. You're not cold. There's not inclement weather. It's perfect. And those fields are just beautiful. Todd Bowles and Logan. Oh, here's something. Now, when they get the team all together, they stretch and then burp, the whistle goes, the clock goes to zero. And now you're officially starting practice. You go to your position groups. The music comes off. But right before they do that, after they're done stretching, they come to the center of the field. They do this for every practice. And it's usually like, it's quick. It's like, you know, it comes in, you know, Bucks on three, one, two, three, boom, boom, then boom, they go to there. This time, I was shooting video on my iPhone. I'm like, damn, that's long. Like 35, 40 seconds. What the hell's going on? So one of my friends, Tewksbury from Fox 13, he's a videographer. He's got a long lens. He was like, it was Bowles that was addressing the team in the middle of the field before they started. And then Logan Ryan came in and gave him a little something, something. So, I mean, they are trying every possibility, all this stuff to motivate, to try to do something, man, something to step it up in these games. Okay. Oh, and one other thing. I thought this was kind of funny. So Brady comes in and he was smiling and I was like, okay, I'm doing a story for my other thing that I do for the Free Press. So I want a thumbnail photo of Brady to use for the website. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start taking a picture as soon as he walks through the door. I've done the podium stuff. He's too far away on these fields to get a good shot. And he comes in, and boom, I snap on him, went boom, boom. And he comes up and he looked right over and he was looking right at me. And then other reporters have iPhones out. And he goes, get out your iPhones. Everybody's got to start recording. Fire away. But he was laughing about it. It was funny. And I was thinking, there's Brady. He's got his iPhone. But he didn't mince words. Like, he knows. None of the talk is cheap. You haven't done it. They're below 500 for a reason, and that's it. And then he always went, you got to block, you got to tackle, you got to run it better, you got to do all that, and you got to do it in practice and do all that, and da, da, da. So he's not going to really give you anything. Oh, and I will tell you this. This is a little bit more under the rock, but it was in New Orleans. So I watched the final press conference with Dennis Allen, who's the head coach of the Saints, and it's real similar to what's happening with Bowles with the press conference. I know behind the scenes, Bowles is a lot more fiery than he is showing at these podiums. But Dennis Allen is, oh my God. There's a hashtag that they got with Saints fans, fire Dennis Allen, lack of passion. And then when he was talking, it was similar to what Bowles. It was like, we got to play complimentary football. We got to just take what we're given. We got to have the want to. He said, and the best part of teams that he was with that were winning was the best players, the leaders, always take over the locker room. Good teams have that good leadership. What was Bowles saying? 2 weeks ago, the leaders got to step up. But it is true. I remember going back to those Buccaneer teams with Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks and John Lynch and Simeon. And they, when a new guy came in or if somebody wasn't cutting their weight, the coaches didn't have to say shit. It was Sapp or Derek quietly, or, you know, you had to perform up to a level. And I'm wondering, now I know Levante David, one of the Joes, I think it might be Lee, thinks it's ridiculous. I think of the meeting, they had a dinner. It was Levante David and Devin White, and they did it early in the week. They did it on Monday night or Tuesday night. I think it was Monday night. And they all went out to dinner in Tampa, and it was Levante picked up the tab, and Carlton Davis is like, we go over to his locker and was like, what was that meeting like? Like, what did you gain out of that meeting, that dinner meeting? And he's like, I always like free food. Like, when somebody pays the tab. And he was kind of smiling. I'm like, there you go. That's an honest answer. Did he take anything away from that? But Devin White was saying on Monday that they were just trying to bond, just trying to get it together. And I know if you think that's a joke, sometimes it does do wonders, man. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But anyway, I don't want to get too deep into that. Tom Brady, when he talks on his Monday Let's Go podcast, he always gives a lot more than he does to us media geeks on Thursday, or in this case, Friday. He was asked about, it's his 23rd season and losing like this, and what Brady said was, quote, "I'd rather lose and play than not play at all. I love playing. I love competing. I love to try and play at a championship level for my teammates." And he was asked about the losing, and he said, "It rips a part of your soul out." He's optimistic because the Bucs are in first place. Brady also told us on his Let's Go podcast, he doesn't sleep at night after losses. He lays in bed thinking about what he should have done better in that game. It shows you the guy cares. I mean, he's a freaking competitor. It's got to be ripping him out. But, oh, and Dennis Allen said the same thing. We can't change the past, but it's all what's in front of us. Same stuff. All right, let me get into some, you want to get some nuts and bolts, enough of this stuff. Let me give some keys to this game. All right, the Buccaneers defense is 3-4. They held five opponents under 100 yards rushing. Okay, but five other opponents have rushed for over 150 yards. When that happens, when the Buccaneers defense is not stopping the run, the Buccaneers were 1-4 in those games. And players have told me that when you're getting run on, gashed, it's way worse for a defense than when you're being passed on and a team is going down the field. They're ripping your soul out, man. They're just ripping it out of you. It's demoralizing. And that has happened to the Buccaneers several times. Now, the Saints running attack, their O-line is better now than earlier in the year. Their dual threat, Alvin Kamara, is the guy. Okay. Taysom Hill is second in rushing, team high, five rushing touchdowns. They like to go to him when they'll get closer to that red zone. They like to call Taysom Hill's number. Mark Ingram, he's still good between the tackles. He did miss three games with a knee injury. But Alvin Kamara, for whatever reason, damn, he is good against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In 11 games, Alvin Kamara against the Bucs has 11 touchdowns. 11 games, 11 touchdowns. 549 yards rushing, 60 catches, 513 in yards. So he is the dual threat. So that means it's going to come down to Nacho and Hicks, Golston, the edge, Tryon Soyinka, Anthony Nelson, Nassib, and of course Levante David and Devin White. They're two top tacklers. So that's going to be the key. Andy Dalton, and if it's Jameis too, they're not. It's the running attack. Stop it. Shut it down. I know it's old school. Sapp used to say it all the time. We're going to stop that run first. Now, Tom Brady in the regular season against the Saints is 1-4, eight interceptions, and just seven touchdowns. Now, we asked him, one of the media members asked him, what is it about the Saints? They're a good football team. This team is not a good football team, the Saints team. They're not that good. And then, of course, he was 218-0 when leading in the final minute of a game. Brady 2 years ago in the playoffs beat the Saints en route to winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but that was 2 years ago. I'm talking about now, Monday Night Football. It's the end of 2022. Bowles and mostly Leftwich are telling the team every week how many games left, how many practices left. And Bowles said, we got six games left to get into the tournament. I don't know why football coaches call it a tournament. I remember Gruden used to talk, they don't call it playoffs, tournament. It's like in baseball with Joe Maddon. He'd always call it points instead of runs. I guess they've just been in it so long, they're bored, they want to come up with a different name. All right, you want to get some key matchups? Let me give you some ideas what I'm seeing for key matchups in this game, Bucks, Saints, NFC South for first place, believe it or not, and Monday Night Football. Well, the Saints aren't. The Saints, Everybody's in it in the NFC South right now. Okay. Oh, by the way, the Buccaneers, the line on this bad boy, I think it was at 4, over under at 40. And the Buccaneers have failed to cover in 8 of their last 9 games. All right, with Wirfs out and Josh Wells in. Okay. Tristan Wirfs in week 2, I don't know if you remember this, week 2 of this season, held Cam Jordan without a sack or a quarterback hit. But again, Wells ain't Wirfs. And they told us, you don't have to be. You're not. Just be the best that you can be in this game. Cam Jordan, only one tackle and a tackle for a loss last week against the 49ers. All right? He's not the Cam Jordan of old. He's good. All right? Rashad White, over 100 yards, 2 straight games now. Third longest runs over the 2 games. He's looked good. Rashad White has looked good, and he's getting a little bit better. He's going to be going up against DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis is a complete linebacker. He can rush the passer. He can stop the run. He can cover backs, tight ends. DeMario Davis is good. And this defense usually plays good. Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore. Now, earlier, that second game of the season, the Buccaneers won it 20-10. Evans and Lattimore, if you remember, they both got tossed in the second half for that fight. And really, if you go back to that game, after Evans got tossed, the Buccaneers got a spark. The Buccaneers' defense. They took the ball away 5 times, got a pick 6 from Mike Edwards. Remember that? All right, overall, as far as matchups, the Buccaneers' offense versus the Saints' defense. That's the defense has been playing well enough to keep the Buccaneers in the game. The Buccaneers' offense just can't do it. They're not holding up. They're 27th with Brady in scoring. They're averaging 18 points a game. That's it. All right. And on the Saints' defense, 20th in the NFL. They're giving up 23 points a game. The Saints' offense, 21st in the NFL. They're scoring a little bit more than 20 points a game. And the Buccaneers' defense, like I said, decent. Right now, overall, 7th best in the NFL, giving up 18.5 points a game. That's enough. That's enough to get more wins than they're getting. I'm also going to look at Carlton Davis, the Buccaneers' cornerback, because most likely he's going to be on Olave, the young Saints wide receiver, Olave, the first rounder. He is a big, big threat. He leads the Saints in catches and yards. And the thing about Olave, they like to send him deep. So this is a big test for Carlton Davis. He broke up a pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones last week. Davis also forced a fumble by Olave, if you remember, in week 2, and he recovered that fumble. So Carlton Davis, you need a big game. Keanu Neal, you're going to be called on in this bad boy. The safety, hard hitter, great tackler, or very good tackler. But Taysom Hill, he's that X factor. He can run it and he can throw it. So those are just some of the matchups that I'm looking for. The kickoff here is at 8:15. And Monday Night Football is different. It's when you're at the stadium, you notice it. You don't notice it that much watching it on TV. But if you're at the stadium, the way they dress it up, there's more lights, there's more cameras, there's more trucks they bring in. It's just bigger. It's a bigger game, and it's an opportunity, because the schedule is going to get harder, man. Where did I have the schedule here? I was looking at it just before. Let's not even go ahead. This is Bucks Kickoff Podcast, and it is it's about this game. It's about this game against the Saints, and it's their stinking rival. Now, before I go any further, real quickly, I got to tell you one more time about the best place to get a burger or a chicken sandwich and shakes and this fries and all that stuff. It's Burger Monger, all right? If you're in Carrollwood, if you're in the Pinellas County area, you got St. Pete Safety Harbor, or if you're up in Wesley Chapel. The burgers are always hand-pressed on the grill. It's to a perfect char and maximum flavor. And you got, they got all the cheeses, the toppings, they're fresh, their sauces, the Burgermonger shakes. Oh my God, whether very vanilla, simply strawberry, chocolate fudge, cookies and cream, caramel crave, Snickers Supreme, hand scooped, all natural ice cream, hand spun, thick and creamy, top of whipped cream, and a variety of toppings. I want one now. And the amazing chicken sandwiches, large marinated chicken breast. You can get it deep fried, fresh breaded, or grilled. And their sides, the craveable sides to die for. Natural cut fries, sweet potato waffle fries, house made, hand battered onion rings, and the LFG burger. This is your best bet, man. It's two for one, basically. It's like a two for one. It's the, ask them for the LFG burger. It's only $12. It's a burger stack with two patties, 12 ounces of beef, the chopped lettuce, the provolone, the applewood smoked bacon, fresh avocado slices, and it's finished off with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. LFG. Let's go. Burger for 12 stinking dollars. All right, the Buccaneer offense. It's time to start getting clicking. And it's time in this game. It has not been clicking. They're not good. They're not good on first and second down overall. Let's face it. Again, they showed that they could do it. They were great on third down. They were great on first and second down against Seattle. That wasn't that long ago. You know, what have you done for Lane? It's not that long ago. The Bucs run on first down. I can't stand it. It doesn't work. Byron Leftwich, can you please change it up? Are you expecting a miracle on first down, a first down run up the middle? The Bucs are fourth in the NFL with fewest first down runs. That does not surprise me. The Buccaneers are second worst in first down runs at 3.5 yards per carry in this game. Do not call a run up the gut on first down. Please, please, begging you. Can't you try something different? Please? Oh, and I'd be remiss on this. Todd Bowles on the no timeouts, his clock management has not been good. And it's getting to the point where I'm starting to think truthfully that he's a coordinator and not a head coach. Now, you got six games to change my mind. But on the final drive after Brady had that screen to Rashad White, 32 seconds left, three timeouts left, Brady says he didn't want to call a timeout late because Brady could have thrown a pick. Brady hardly ever throws a pick. Not a good answer. 470 passes this season. 470. Brady has only thrown two picks. This is not Jameis. Also, the fourth and two on Cleveland's 37. Bowles didn't want to go for it. The Bucs are 4-15 on third down after going 2-for-2 on their final drive. So in that game, horrendous. Horrendous on third down. No snap counts for Cade Otton. No snap counts for Scotty Miller. Cam Brate to me looks slow. He looks slow. Overall, like big picture, the Buccaneer offense looks slow to me. That's the thing that really concerns me. Are you all of a sudden going to get that much faster in the last 6 weeks? No. So Brady's got a hit. Guy, Brady has missed passes too. He has not been the GOAT, but he hasn't been bad. Some people say he's terrible and he's done and you got to have Kyle Trask and this and that. You know, oh my God. 5 weeks left after this game. Tom Brady was 218-0 when leading by 7 points or more in the last 2 minutes of regulation. And go figure, on this season, that record was broken. All right, so just a couple of things. Just going back. I know it seems like a long time ago, the Browns-Bucks game, doesn't it? 23-17 in overtime. Nick Chubb, 3-yard touchdown. 19 seconds in OT. Set up by Jacoby Brissett's 45-yard pass to Amari Cooper. Carlton Davis slipped. Buccaneers forced overtime on Njoku's one-handed touchdown catch. That was one of the best catches I have seen in a long time. And even Devin White would told us, he's like, man, you know, put it on me. But he made a hell of a play. He did make a hell of a play. That was 32 seconds to go in regulation. And I don't know if you caught Jacoby Brissett after the game when he was doing his media press conference. And he started out and he said, I don't want to, you know, in the words of Tom Brady, that was fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. Because that's what Brady said after the win against Seattle in Munich. So I got to give it up to Jacoby Brissett. I told you, this was his last chance to prove that he can still play quarterback in the NFL. Not ride the pine, play. Because Deshaun Watson gets the start now. He's been taking the reps. And Jacoby Brissett was splitting reps all week with the ones in practice. As a matter of fact, I think it was even 2 weeks. So Jacoby Brissett got it done. He really did. Brady and the offense did squat in overtime. 17 points isn't going to do it. It's been the same thing all year. We're not scoring enough points. That was what the GOAT said. Brady was sacked 3 times. Miles Garrett had 1.5 of those sacks. Brady on the night, a day, 29 of 43, 246, and 2 touchdowns. The Buccaneers got 0 goose egg donut points in the final 7 possessions. That is unacceptable against Cleveland. Tristan Wirfs was carted off with the leg. It turned out to be the high ankle sprain. Donovan Smith, since he got that injury, but as one of the Joes says, you're out there, you're cleared to play, don't want to hear any excuses. Donovan Smith, it's also the penalties too, man, lately. He's had no penalties in the first 6 games of the year. None. He's had 7 penalties in his last 5 games. Bowles, after this one against the Browns, said they played poorly in all 3 phases of the game. Return, coverage, bad tackling on defense. Offense couldn't do anything on 3rd down. Bowles says that Brady and Mike Evans have to get on the same page. Now listen, Brady poo-pooed that when we talked to him on Friday. What do you got to do to get on the same page with Mike Evans? It might have been Stroud. I forgot who asked. Like, do you think you could, maybe practice a little bit more? And you know what Brady said? He goes, Mike and I have, you know, chemistry. We know each other really well. We've been playing together for several years now. So that thing about getting on the same page. Mike Evans told us, he just keeps saying, it was about health, man. We're finally getting healthy. And they're pretty damn healthy for this game. We're unstoppable when we're healthy. Well, all right, Mike Evans, then you have got to step up. You've got to run the right route. You've got to go for the football. All right. He seemed very confident that being healthy, that's all it's taken, and that they'll be unstoppable. They're going to be fine. And I was standing right there, 2 feet in front of him when he said it. Mike Evans has gone 7 straight games without a touchdown. It is the longest of his career. I don't know if you're aware of that. You're probably like, what happened to Mike Evans? 7 games for Q wide receiver 1 with Brady. 7 games without a touchdown. But he looked like he was very confident, like it's no big deal. So let's see. And the 49ers Saints game, the Saints couldn't do anything. 3 straight second half shutouts by the 49ers defense. 49ers defense is playing the best best of any defense in the NFL right now. It's San Francisco. It was their fourth straight win. The 49ers forced two fumbles from Alvin Kamara. And that's another thing. Alvin Kamara almost never fumbles. So you can't say, well, Kamara now is prone to fumbling. And the Bucs got to take advantage of that. That's very unusual for Alvin Kamara. But he did. He fumbled two times. The 49ers defense stopped the Saints near the goal line two times. The Saints only had 63 yards rushing. And Dennis Allen, their head coach, afterwards said, bottom line, if you turn the ball over, you're not going to beat a good team. And you know what? Bowles was asked about, like, the key. And he basically, for this game, and he was like, whoever makes the least amount of turnovers, whoever makes the least amount of mistakes, that's it. You know why? Because it's two bad, struggling football teams. Or as Joe Namath would say, struggling. So I haven't noticed or seen any dissension in the locker room. Any player that is sniping, complaining. I used to see that. Oh, my God. There was time. Remember Deshaun Jackson. I remember back in the day, Keyshawn Johnson talking out loud about Gruden. You know, I've been in the locker room for any media open availability, and I haven't seen any of that at all. It seems like everything is okay. So haven't seen that yet. But if the losses keep coming, it's going to happen. But I'm just focused on this game. So this is it. This is it. Am I confident? No. Because they haven't shown me anything that they can string it. They talked about stacking them up after the Seattle, and they totally laid an egg and sucked against Cleveland. So the Saints are bad. It's their rivalry. You're on Monday Night Football. You've been given a gift being in first place. Let's do it. Do it. So once again, man, my thanks to all you that are listening to this podcast and supporting and going on the biggest, baddest, best Buccaneer website in the world, joebucksfan.com. It's an honor for me to be here with Bucks Kickoff every 24 to 36 hours before every Buccaneer game. All right, I'm going to be there. I'll report to you back next week. I'll report to you. Follow me on my social media. Be all over it. I'm going to be in the locker room. I'm going to be down on the field. The whole nine yards. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And enjoy. Enjoy. It's Monday Night Football. There's only six games to go. Five after this. That's it. All right? See ya.